Message is going to be Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23. There we go. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this beautiful picture of what is to come, of the hope that is ours as children of God. We pray that we would not be deceived by the darkness in our world or used as an excuse to doubt your power and your presence among us, but rather rejoice that your light has come into our lives, that the darkness will never overcome. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, how many of you know how long the longest light bulb can last? You know this? Guinness Book of World Records. The longest light bulb. Apparently it was made in 1901. It's in a fire station, of all things, in Livermore, California. And it's called the Centennial Light. And it's officially lasted 114 years, about. It's a long time. The average incandescent light bulb lasts about 1,000 to 2,000 hours. And maybe now you got one of those nicer mercury light bulbs that are supposed to last several years. Maybe cost a little electricity, a little bit less there. Fascinating enough, Thomas Edison is known as the inventor of the light bulb, although that might be debated today, but generally known as the inventor of the light bulb. He created a light called the Eternal Light. And it lasted several years. And you can go and see actually where it is in New Jersey in the museum there. But according to the museum creator, the light bulb is actually not really a light bulb. It's hollow, and it's just powered by automobile lights at the base to make it look like it's on. So despite man's best intentions, they still have not created a light bulb that will never burn out. And there's lots of money going into NASA right now, like billions of dollars going into NASA. Because there's apparently this apprehension going on that we need to find a new place to live after the sun burns out in billions of years from now. I just find that fascinating. If we would care that much about a sun that's going to burn out billions and billions of years from now, and meanwhile, completely miss the eternal light that has already come into the world. As it turns out, science got one thing right, is that if we don't have the sun, we will not be able to live. We need the light and the warmth of the sun in order to live, in order to function as human beings, in order to have crops that will grow and give us food. Literally, our bodies were made to have light shown upon us. And so without the light of the sun, we die. Yet so it is with Christ. in the darkness of the world, we need a light not made by human hands. A light that will not burn out. And that light is the eternal light. That's why we have this red casing here next to the flag. Because it represents the eternal light of Jesus Christ that never goes out. See, that's the hope that we have as Christians. That's what sets us apart from the world. It's that we actually have the eternal light in us. And that's what changes everything. And yet so often, we use the darkness in the world as an excuse to doubt the light of Christ, don't we? Use the darkness in our hearts, the darkness in somebody else, maybe the darkness even in the church, darkness happening to our families and loved ones, and we say, where is the eternal light? And see, when we doubt the eternal light, what we do is end up trying to go to darkness to fix the darkness instead of light. Think about this. If I'm in a dark room, do I want a flashlight or do I want a dark light to give me light for the room? If I have a flashlight and it has no batteries, is that going to help me much? Does it help to go into a dark room and shine some darkness? Is that going to get rid of the darkness? Or is it going to work to shine light into a dark room? See, Christianity doesn't just do away with this idea of darkness in the world. And darkness in our hearts and minds. In fact, it magnifies this reality. It magnifies it so much to the point that God had to send His Son, who is only light, in Him there is no darkness, into the world that we might be saved and rescued. Because the darkness is so great in our own lives and in our own world, there is no hope of salvation other than Christ, the true light, coming into the world. And it's so easy to be deceived that I can fix the darkness in my life if I just go to some other darkness or some other artificial light that claims to be the eternal light. It gives that temporary warmth, but eventually burns out. You know, our lights in America are money, sexuality, our pride, maybe even our families, our political system, maybe not so much recently. Those things are military. Are those the things that give us life? Are those the things that give us our security to ensure that the darkness will not harm us? Or will one day all of those things, too, eventually burn away? And then what will we have? See, that's why it's so beautiful that Jesus comes as the eternal in our reading from Revelation, it says that they will need no temple on this last day of the picture of the new creation. You have the picture of the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And it says there's going to be no temple at all. Verse 22. And this would have just been fascinating to the Jewish readers of the first century, because the temple was the place that was the most important place for their worship. Think about the time of Jesus, the temple was so extravagantly decorated. It stood out from all the other buildings. Precious jewels, standing tall. And yet Jesus comes and says, not one of these stones is going to be left on the other. This glorious temple that you think gives such glorious light for you will one day not be there anymore. Because the thing about the temple that was so special was because it was the place where the presence of God dwelled, the light of God. And what's so beautiful about this picture of revelation in the new heavens and the new earth is now that we don't need a temple anymore. It means that we are going to have full and direct access to God the Father and to Jesus Christ. Nothing more will separate us. We will no longer see things dimly. We will no longer have darkness at all. We will no longer need artificial light. Because simply the light of Jesus is enough, more than enough, to give us light. Because He is the one who created the sun. He's the one who created all those people that created these lights. And He is really the source. It's not whether the sun burns away. The real problem would be if the Son of God burned away. Yet in fascinating part of the story, it says that the light of the world, when He went to the cross, we bore all of our sins, for a brief moment He was extinguished. But as it turns out, you cannot keep the light of the world out. So it says He rose from the grave gloriously and lives and shines to all eternity. Brothers and sisters, He lives that glorious life that's conquered death and has made us pure and holy, lives in us. And that's the confidence that Jesus gives to us as we go out into the world. That the very light, the very source of life has come to dwell in us. And that even though we will face the sorrows and the fears of darkness, it says the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus tells us there will be a day where there is no more darkness. We will only know the joy of life and light in Him. And that's a beautiful picture that we have as the church now. This is what separates us. It's the light of Jesus, of His presence, of His power, of His peace that the world cannot give among us. Today, as we go out, literally as temples of the light of Christ in our lives. I'd like to have you look at the sheets we handed out to you. This is a song called "In So, Lord Jesus, Quickly Come." And I'm using it because it's written by a beloved Lutheran organist and songwriter. And when I was in college, one of my memories that I especially cherish is that at every Christmas concert, we would invite all the alumni to come up, and this would always be the last song that we would sing. As a symbol that the light of the world has come into our hearts, and that He lives in our hearts, and that one day we will only know that light. Paul Mons wrote this when he was actually dealing with a life-threatening illness for his three-year-old son. It had gotten so bad that the doctors and the nurses gave up on him. And so he and his wife, Ruth, decided to do a vigil all day and night. And one night, while he was praying by his child's bedside, his wife brought him the lyrics based on Revelation. And that very night, he wrote this song. That very night, when he was possibly going to deal with the darkness of losing his three-year-old son, he wrote this song. The very night when he was dealing with the uncertainty of what would happen in his life, maybe his worst fears coming true, he wrote this song because he had the hope of the light of Jesus Christ. And that gives us confidence to face whatever darkness comes into our lives. And by God's grace, that child survived. So I'd like to play it for you. I'd like you to think about those words as we meditate on the eternal light of Jesus Christ. Is the hope that we have to look forward to, and that literally points us and propels us forward into the darkness to shine that light that lives in us. Christ is victorious. And one day we shall see that and know that in all of its fullness. Christ is your light and your life now and forever. As temples of the living God, the light that lives in you is a light that will never burn out. Amen.